Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news of the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We're hoping to have Dr. Arthur Robinson with us, and we're going to be talking about global warming. Now, Dr. Robinson is a scientist. He worked at the University of California for many years, one of the world's leading scientists, and then he and his wife just got sick and tired of the games you have to play in academics, and so they left their position there. They moved up to Oregon with their six children. They established a scientific center in Oregon, and of course, it's the Oregon Research Institute, and of course, they raised their children there. Mrs. Robinson died, but certainly Art has been doing a great deal of fundamental scientific research. He is known by scientists all throughout the country and certainly respected, one of the few who's had the courage to get out of academics so that he could really do the scientific research without having to be subservient to government or corporate grants. Because if you don't come up with the sort of science they want you to come up with, why, you lose your grants. And this is the great tragedy of today. We don't have science at all. We have prostitution, where men sell their souls for their jobs or to get grants so that they can get funds, so that they can do research, so they can publish, so they can get advantage, so they can get more money. And I say there's very little difference between that and the world's oldest profession. So Dr. Robinson certainly has not done that. He is widely respected, and we have a unique opportunity on many occasions, of course, to talk to him and of course, to get the information that he has available. And one of these issues is global warming. Now, there's a lot of confusion about global warming. Is there global warming? Yes, there is global warming. There's been global warming going on since about 1600s. And what you have to know is that there have been many cycles of global warming and global cooling through the millennium. Greenland is called Greenland because 1,000 years ago, when the Vikings were there, this was a green land. The world was much warmer at that time. There was less vegetation in Greenland. They were growing grapes in northern Scotland and northern Ireland. And, of course, we had an entirely different climate than we have today. And they can tell this in the rings of the trees that are around, because there are some trees that are that old that have been here for at least 1,000 years or more. They can tell this by the ice. Yes, there have been episodes of global warming. There have been episodes of global cooling. And we started our episode of global warming about 1600. In fact, in the last century, why the temperature's gone up about 100 degrees, pardon me, about a degree. But, of course, most of that occurred before 1940 when we had the increased CO2 emissions. And, of course, most of what you have been told about global warming being related to what man has done is simply not true at all. First, the whole idea of the Global Warming Treaty of Kyoto came out of the Second Earth Summit in 1992. It is an attack on the economy of the United States because it doesn't affect China. It doesn't affect India, some of the largest polluters in the world. And, of course, if you have global warming, why, you can always have emission sales, and you can actually buy permission elsewhere so you can actually have continue your pollution. We'll be back in just a moment with Dr. Robinson. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon, Dr. Arthur Robinson, is with us. And Dr. Robinson is a scientist who has an institute for scientific research up in Oregon, but he certainly is one of the world's experts on on global warming. In fact, he actually circulated a petition among the scientists to really understand global climate change. And how many scientists actually did respond to that, Dr. Robinson?
A little over 17,000 signed the petition.
All right, fine. Now, of course, you can't say that science should be based upon majority rule, but the other side keeps telling us, oh, all the scientists, there's no dissent, everybody agrees, and that's really not true, is it?
No, it's not, and in fact, of course, you don't do science by consensus or vote, but the reason that we found it necessary to circulate the petition was the Enviro false claim that all the scientists agreed with them, which was not true.
All right, fine. Well, now, as you look at this whole thing, why are they trying to convince everybody in the United States, everybody in the Western world, that we have the global warming and it is related to man's activity? And what they do is they sort of confuse whether or not there's global warming or whether man's activity and CO2 emissions contributed to it. Don't they intentionally confuse people on these issues?
Yes. You see, we know the Earth is warming up. It's been in a warming phase for 300 years. It went through a very cool phase. It went through a very warm phase 1,000 years ago, and it was much warmer than today. Then it went through a period which is known as the Little Ice Age about 300 years ago, and has been warming up since then. So this is a normal warming trend caused mostly by solar activity. What the Enviros do is to falsely claim that it's caused by human activity. This is because they wish to control human activity by rationing the world's energy supplies. They're trying to build a world energy rationing system, and they are using this false claim that humans are controlling the world's climate in order to try to accomplish that political goal.
Well, of course, nobody would suggest that 1,000 years ago, when we had a great deal more in the way of global warming, it was much hotter at that time, than it was related to CO2 emissions, would they?
Of course, but they lie about this. For example, a headline in USA Today last year said that this was the warmest period in 600 years. Well, the statement was true. But 700 years ago, it was warmer, and 800, and 900, and 1,000. You see, if you go back along the curve, you go down into the Little Ice Age, and you go back up into the period called the medieval climate optimum 1,000 years ago. And as you go up, you pass a point which, before which it was actually cooler than it is today. So by cutting it off at 600 years, they could say it was the warmest in 600 years.
Hold that point right there for 2 minutes. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. And, of course, Dr. Robinson was saying that there was a recent article in one of the major news magazines saying, you know, this was the hottest day, you know, in something like 600 years. But what they didn't mention was that 700 years ago, of course, it was much hotter because we were coming from out of the warming age. And, of course, they were gradually getting cooler. And we had, of course, this cycle 1,000 years ago was far hotter than it was today. And then, of course, about 1600 or so, we were in a little ice age, and then we began coming out of that. So we've been warming, since about 1600 or so?
Since about 1700.
About 1700.
And this is, of course, not an unusual thing. The cycles have gone up and down. The current temperature is a little below the 2,000-year average.
All right. And, of course, the thing is, as you point out, that this is really all about control. In other words, if they can get the Kyoto Protocol through, it's not going to cut back on CO2 emissions, because it doesn't affect any of the third world countries. It doesn't affect China. It doesn't affect India. It doesn't affect... But it's really all aimed at destroying the economy of the United States, isn't it?
Yes. There's also another indicator that it's just control, because even with the false... and contrived numbers that the United Nations has put out, using their own numbers, if you admit the truth of their arguments, which aren't true, they admit that the Kyoto Treaty, which they're trying to get everyone to enforce and subscribe to, will not change the CO2 in the environment enough to make any difference to global warming, even if you assume that it is causing it.
Because, of course, can't you trade...
they're doing it simply for political reasons, right, to establish a world energy rationing bureaucracy. They know it won't, even the treaty they're proposing won't even change the CO2 very much.
Well, now, of course, they tell us, but there is no scientific... I mean, all legitimate scientists agree with the position we've taken, and that's really a lie.
Well, that's just an outright lie, yes. The greatest number of American scientists that have ever been involved in one meeting of this sort is about 350, and they didn't all agree with them. They just lie about it.
So. And didn't they actually have these scientists come up with some sort of a conclusion? They said we find no evidence, no conclusive evidence that there is a mankind has contributed to this, and then they just sort of changed the report after everybody had left?
Well, in a way, what they did, this happened quite a few years ago, they haven't even discussed the science for a long time in any of these international UN meetings. But they did have a couple of large meetings, and the last one had about 2,000 participants, of whom 1,100 were scientists and 380 were from the United States. They point at that meeting and say that 2,000 scientists issued a report in favor of the human-caused global warming hypothesis. This was not true. The scientists went to give their input to the meeting. Some of the scientists of the meeting signed our petition. The fact is they got a lot of people in a room. They had a meeting, and then everybody went home, and a little committee of a few people drafted a report, which none of the people that attended the meeting, except for that small committee, had anything to do with, and they did not approve it.
But, of course, they tell us this is science, and science, you know, cannot be perverted. Science is absolute. And isn't there a real problem, really, to prostitute science today in the name of political expediency?
Yeah, well, they're just lying. But they're lying for political purposes, and they have had a river of money, lots of money. The enviro business is a multi-billion-dollar industry. And moreover, it's not just enviros, because the biggest corporation supporting global warming, human-caused global warming, was Enron Corporation, because Enron felt that their product mix would benefit, that they would make a greater profit if people believed this false hypothesis. And there are a number of big corporations today that are supporting the warmers and putting money into it because they are positioned in the market in such a way that the energy rationing will increase their profits. So we have the warmers, then we have the business interests who, in an unprincipled way, just support the hypothesis to make money. Then we have a lot of innocent people who believe this propaganda and get all worried about it. Then we have politicians like Kerry and Gore and people like this who decided they could get votes with it. So the enviros get this rolling with these big tens of millions of dollar propaganda campaigns, and then a lot of other people sign on because they think it's in their self-interest. But the hypothesis itself is false.
Well, the problem is that, of course, the media seems to be almost solidly behind this. I mean, you read the New York Times, as I do, and you see these pictures, and it shows you the melting ice, the melting glaciers on the hills, you know, the way it was 40 years ago and the way it is today. We hear that the ice on the polar ice cap is just melting away, and the poor polar bears aren't going to have any homes at all. But there really seems to be some
well, there is some warming.
Right.
And for example, if you take a tour of Glacier National Park, they will point out that the glaciers have receded greatly in Glacier National Park. But if you take that tour, they're quite honest about it. They say they have receded just as they have receded many times in the past during warm periods of the Earth. So these glaciers and the ice cap and so forth expand and contract in accordance with fluctuations in the Earth's temperature. This is just natural fluctuations, but they have tried to make some. And another interesting thing, of course, is that most of these people used to be global coolers, because in the 70s the Earth was going through a short-term cooling period. The warming in the last 300 years is not continuous. It's sort of it within itself has little fluctuations. And during the 70s there was a downward fluctuation in the temperature, and they all signed on to global cooling. And guess what? The burning of coal, oil, and natural gas was causing global cooling, and we would all freeze in the dark.
I think
global warming when the temperature started back up.
And I think Paul Ehrlich was one of those, as I remember.
Yes, definitely.
Well, of course, the problem is that the people are not getting the truth. I mean, as I read the media, whether it be in magazines or newspapers or listen to television, you very seldom hear a scientist on the other side to put out what most scientists really feel is the case. And certainly you're in touch with these scientists all across the world, and they don't believe that mankind has had anything to do with this. And yet, of course, this will have dramatic influence on the United States when the Kyoto Protocol is signed. What would it do to the United States and to our
country? Well, it would. The United States already has a difficult situation because the workers of the United States carry a heavy burden in taxes, regulations, and litigation which has made them uncompetitive with Asian workers. So we already have this terrible problem of capital flight from the United States due to the government actions against our workers. However, with respect to Europe, which is the main place that global warming is being pushed, European economies are more socialist than the United States. They have worse taxes, worse regulations, and so they are at a competitive disadvantage with respect to the United States, whereas the Asians are at a competitive advantage. The Europeans hope to slow the United States down by constricting its energy supplies.
Well, now, what
that's
about
pretty much it?
What about the Europeans? Won't this have an impact on their?
They have. There's an interesting thing to the Kyoto Treaty. They all agree to reduce their CO2 emissions dramatically, but there are no penalties for not doing so. And most of these European nations that are pushing it are not in compliance with the treaty. But they assume that the United States would be in compliance, and it would, because there would be all kinds of the socialist elements in the United States, which would probably force us at least partially into compliance. So they don't really plan to follow the treaty either.
But don't they actually produce a lot of their electricity over there with nuclear?
So only the French.
Only the French.
The French, in this regard, are very sensible. The best, cheapest, safest form of energy is nuclear power, nuclear energy. And the French have their entire electrical system is nuclear, and they sell energy made by nuclear electric means to other countries. So France has an excellent nuclear power system. The other countries do not.
When you have that, you can produce electricity very, very cheaply.
Yeah.
And then, of course, if you can sell it to adjacent countries, they don't have to burn coal or oil to generate their electricity
right.
as we do.
Yeah, that's true. Although most of the countries in Europe are not in that position, just France.
All right.
And, in fact, the Germans and the Scandinavians are talking about closing the nuclear power plants they have. That's another enviro issue, which is sort of craziness.
Well, of course, one of the biggest things, you know, is the scam that I believe they put over on the public is, well, one reason we can't have nuclear power plants is because we don't know what to do with the nuclear fuel. We've got all these fuel rods, we've got them, and we want to store them in Nevada, and the people in Nevada don't want them. Why? I mean,
this is a red herring, because what really should be done with them is the fuel should be recycled in breeder reactors and turned back into nuclear fuel. The primary waste, the high radiation waste from a nuclear power plant, can be recycled and reused. But the United States, under the Carter administration, basically made rules against the use of breeder reactors. So President Carter stopped breeder reactor development and applications in the United States. That's the only reason the high-level waste even exists. Otherwise, it would go right back through breeder reactors and repower the power plants.
And, of course, the most incredible thing is that forces us to have to use coal or natural gas or oil to generate electricity, because you can't get by without it. So we've actually, in many respects, actually created the problem that's producing the CO2 that they're so concerned about.
That's we've certainly exacerbated it in that way. And, of course, there isn't any CO2 problem to start with. The Chinese know better. China has scheduled the complete construction and bring into operation of 60 nuclear power plants during the next 5 years.
And, of course, we're not going to be able to compete with
the United States has three that are applying for licenses. And only that's only because of the Bush administration. All the other administrations, the Clinton administration, made that impossible. President Bush is trying to get nuclear power started in the United States, and he has a chance of getting three plants in the next 10 years. Our competitors, China, are building 60 in the next 5 years.
But, of course, the energy will be so much cheaper in China. Not only will the labor be cheaper, but the electricity, energies will be cheaper. We won't be able to, of course, compete at all with Chinese as far as our factories. They'll all be going over there. And then what happens to America?
Yep, and it has nothing to do with free trade. It has to do with putting taxes, regulations, and litigation on the back of the American worker so that he is so burdened that he can't compete.
Amen to that. We're going to be back in just a moment with Dr. Arthur Robinson. We will certainly welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics.
an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine, but those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763. Or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Arthur Robinson. Dr. Robinson, do you have a website? Would you like to get that out?
Yeah, it's www.oism.org, OISM, Oregon Institute of Science and Medicine.
All right, fine.org. And you've got material up there on the global warming issue, don't you?
Yeah, you can go there. You can see the names of all the scientists who signed the petition. And you can see what's most informative is an 8-page review article reviewing the peer-reviewed scientific literature on this subject and showing conclusively that this enviro claim is not correct.
Now, of course, we hear about, oh, it's the CO2, it's the greenhouse gases. Now, my understanding is that the major greenhouse gas is water vapor. What part of the greenhouse gas is actually CO2? Do we have any idea?
Well, CO2 is not much of a greenhouse gas. What has happened is as follows. The people who claim that human has caused global warming claim that they have computer models that show that CO2 will warm up the planet in the ways they predict. What they do with these computer models is to increase the CO2. This slightly warms the planet in their models, and that causes the evaporation of water from the ocean. And there's a kind of catastrophic amplifying effect. The CO2 gets a little warming started, that causes some water to evaporate, that gets it even warmer, and more water evaporates. And the thing sort of spirals out of control. You get a lot of water up, and water is the primary greenhouse gas. The problem with this model is that it doesn't conform to the known facts, because we know that the Earth has been, in the last 2,000 years, in a lot of periods warmer than today. And if this model were correct, those periods would have led to even more catastrophic self-amplification of the water effect, and they didn't. So we know that the Earth has, due to solar activity, warmed to much greater extents than CO2 could ever warm it, and you did not get this spiral. In fact, there was a sort of another effect. And if you get into you can understand why it didn't spiral out of control if you study the science. But the point is, CO2, it just barely warms. It's a very tiny greenhouse gas function, so small that you probably couldn't even see it. But that warming can be claimed to cause water evaporation, which gives lots of warming. The problem is, we've had lots of warming greater than the CO2 warming during historical periods, and this water amplification effect was not there. So the computer models don't predict the past, so they surely can't predict the future.
All right, fine. Well, of course, the problem that we have in America today is because of the bias, let's call it bias, of the people who control the media, and I really believe that they're using this as part of an attack on the very financial infrastructure of this country. Because of that, why you're not hearing the other side presented. You're not hearing experts like Dr. Robinson, you know, on the Rush Limbaugh show or Sean Hannity, and you're certainly never going to hear them on the liberal side of the discussion. So if you never hear the other side, if only you hear one side and the drumbeat goes over and over again, it doesn't matter how ridiculous something is. Why, of course, people will believe. Let's go to Fred, who's calling from Salinas. And if you're out there across America, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And if there's anything you want to know about global warming, Dr. Robinson's the person to ask. He's certainly one of the most informed people in America that I know of. We've got Fred. Go ahead, Fred.
Yes, I was just wondering if he could explain the actions of volcanoes like Tambora and Krakatoa when you have large volcanic activity going on.
Okay.
It seems like it has a tremendous amount of activity compared to the human.
All right, fine. How would you respond to...
Well, yes, the volcanoes generally put things in the atmosphere which screen the sun and therefore cause cooling periods. But you can see the effect of a volcano in the historical record very well. When there's a huge eruption of a volcano, it often changes the weather for many years before the system dies down to its ordinary level. The volcanic effect on the weather is different from the one the warmers are claiming. The volcanoes tend to screen the sun and make things cooler, but it does show you a natural phenomenon which affects the weather.
Anything else, Fred?
We could be coming out of the effects of Tambora, though, couldn't we, right now? And we had such a cooling.
When was that now? When was that?
Tambora was in early 1800s?
No, I don't think so. There is one other point I could make about the volcanoes. We don't have control over what the sun will do. The sun will waxes and wanes in intensity, and our temperature goes up and down as a result. There is one thing, however, that can be said. If we were to choose, if we had our choice as to whether the sun should become hotter or cooler, we would be better off choosing hotter, because we can cool the planet. If the sun warms the planet more than we want it, we can, by putting screening...
Hold that thought right there.
Are you there?
Now, most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon, Dr. Arthur Robinson from the Oregon Institute of Medicine and Research, and, of course, Science and Medicine, Oregon Institute of Science and Medicine. And, Fred, did you have anything else you wanted to ask?
No, I think that's about it.
Thank you so much. Let's then go to John, who's calling from San Gabriel. And, of course, our telephone number again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, John. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty well. Thank you. I was interested in learning a little more about the reasons, the concerns that about the breeder reactors that enabled somebody to, or people to, discourage their use and get the policies changed in the Carter administration, and also what the possibilities are to resume research that what might be accomplished if there was a change in policy again to favor the breeder reactors.
All right. What about the breeder reaction? Why did they outlaw them? Can we possibly get them reinstituted and solve the problem rather than, of course, follow our current suicidal path?
Well, there were, of course, many anti-nuke and viral claims about breeder reactors to try to get them shut down. However, one thing that the administration claimed was a concern was that these breeder reactors could be used to make fuel for nuclear weapons and terrorists might get control of it. Of course, this is nonsense. The world has tens of thousands of nuclear weapons and breeder reactors are not going to add to the danger. It was basically a political decision with some excuses wrapped around it. The chances of restarting nuclear power, you may have noticed in President Bush's State of the Union speech, he spoke of the need for the United States to modernize its energy system, and he only mentioned one kind of energy production specifically. He mentioned others generally, but only one specifically, and that is nuclear power. He is trying to restart nuclear power in the United States, but all he was able to do in the first 4 years was to get the permit process started on three plants. And the permit process, because of the litigation industry, is so involved that the United States is going to have to pay half permit costs for these things, because they cost hundreds of millions of dollars to just get permission to build one. So there are many enviro regulations and laws in place that make it very difficult to restart the nuclear power industry. The president has gotten three planning processes started, and if everything goes well, those three plants will be produced in 10 years. This is just a demonstration project, of course. It wouldn't solve the energy problems of the United States unless we built hundreds of nuclear power plants, which is what we need to do.
All right. Anything else, John?
Well, would it be the case then that the breeder technology was sufficiently mature that only a change in government policy would enable it to be commenced?
Yeah, the breeder technology is being developed and used in other parts of the world. So the technology is continuing to advance, but of course it's stopped in the United States.
I think, John, what you have to understand is there an attack on the economic foundation of this country. Would you agree with that, Dr. Robinson? This
anything that the enviro industry, which doesn't include just the enviros, includes the other interests I mentioned, the enviro industry will attack any form of energy production that works. If solar cells could produce enough power to make a difference to our economy, they would attack those too. They like solar cells and wind power primarily because they are, at present, in their present form, economically impractical.
Okay, anything else, John?
No, I guess it's interesting how, in the face of the facts, all these things continue to go on. It doesn't seem to be possible to get the truth disseminated adequately so people realize what the real stories are.
Well, your job is to get everybody in know listening to our program, okay?
That's right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, let's go to Richard, who's calling from New York City. Hi, Richard. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks very much.
How are you hearing us on shortwave or internet?
Internet.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Actually, two questions, if I could. Global warming and the coldness and the change of the cycles, things like that, there's no mention what side of the argument you're on about the quality of the air. It's not the temperature that bothers me so much as the quality. The temperatures were cooler in the 70s, but the air was horrific, especially in New York City. Just wondering, you know, if we could address the issue of quality of the air, not so much as the temperature.
Is the quality of air in New York better than it was?
Well, you have to take out September 11th and the effects of the World Trade Center.
But the quality of the air...
I would say yes. Living here, yes. We used to have to wipe the grime off our windows on a regular basis.
Right.
Air quality is not a function of air temperature. Air quality is a function of many things, but not a function of global temperature.
Right, but
quality is a function. And it's interesting, that period when it was warmer than today 1,000 years ago is known as the medieval climate optimum, because the climate of the Earth was generally more benign than it is in other periods. So as far as climatological things, number of storms, various things, extreme weather conditions, these were more benign during the warmer period. So the quality of the weather, in terms of being comfortable for humans, is known to be higher when the temperature is a little warmer. This, of course, is the opposite from what they claim, too.
Right. Could I get into my second part?
Sure, you could. And let me just comment on the thing is that certainly doing away with a lot of coal burning has cleaned the air up a good deal. And actually, some of the restrictions now they're beginning to put on the diesel trucks, who are one of the major polluters, is doing this, but they didn't go after the diesel trucks initially because they wanted to control the cars. And so, in many respects, they created this whole problem by refusing to go after the real major problems. And of course, if we had nuclear, we wouldn't be having to burn the coal and the other things that we're burning. So go ahead, what's your second question?
Well, again, related to the warming and cycles that animal life or wildlife goes through. In the past, they've been able to migrate, or they had sufficient numbers to survive these climactic cycles. And now with the encroachment of civilization, I'm wondering what you think the effect would be on these creatures that we share the planet with.
Yeah, this is a good question. I would say, I'd like to add to the previous comment I made, of course, no one disputes the idea that the pollutants from coal should be trapped But carbon dioxide is not a pollutant. That's where the issue is. In terms of animal and plant life, it's quite clear. There's a huge research literature about the effect of CO2 on plant and animal life. The higher the carbon dioxide level, the more plant and animal life there is, and the more lush and diverse it is. The reason for this is that plants grow much more rapidly and much more profusely and in drier areas as the carbon dioxide goes up. Plants respire through little pores on their leaves or needles, and these pores the degree to which these pores are open is determined by the CO2 level. So if there's higher CO2, the pores can be smaller, and therefore not as much water evaporates. So you see plants growing in drier areas. They grow more lushly. They grow much more rapidly. Plant life grows much more rapidly as the CO2 goes up, and the plant and animal lives are proportional because the animals live on the plants. So there's a very, very large scientific literature that shows that the diversity and amount of plant and animal life rises as the carbon dioxide rises. And this is being observed in many places on the Earth. It's being studied now. As the CO2 has gone up in the atmosphere, which it definitely has, there is a greater amount of plant and animal life. So there's a positive effect on the plant and animal life from higher CO2.
Okay, does that answer your question?
Yeah, I'd just like to close with a quick comment. I've heard, I don't remember the person that said it, there are lies, damn lies, and statistics. So who do you suggest we go to consistently for truth in these matters?
I would go to OISM.org.
Well, that's the problem, because you shouldn't trust anybody. You should not trust in Parrot. So you shouldn't trust anybody.
Yeah.
The best thing to do is
get these sources.
These subjects aren't when we say go to our website, doesn't mean go there and accept our conclusions, but if you go there and read that 8-page review article, you'll see the graphs and the peer-reviewed data upon which our conclusions are based. The bottom line is that if you really want to have an informed opinion, you have to read the fundamental information yourself. And so if you go to our website to learn about global warming, you'll see a definitive review article on this, which you can check all the data, because this data is all referenced if you want to check it. And it shows why the statements I'm making are true. You need to read that and conclude yourself that the logic that we present is correct. Otherwise, you're just sort of signing on with one guru or another. You're going to trust and Parrot us, you're going to trust and Parrot the other side. That's not smart. You need to study for yourself.
Thanks very much, Richard. Let's go to Herman, who's calling from Carmel. Hi, Herman.
Hi. Just had a quick question for our guest. Why aren't the environmentalists going after the depleted uranium problem that we are creating in Iraq?
Well, I think that's a little off the subject. Do you want to comment on that at all? Are you acquainted with the?
Well, I don't really know how bad the situation is. You know, generally depleted uranium doesn't have much radioactivity left in it, and a lot of the claims have been made about this that aren't correct. I don't know the data on Iraq, so I don't know exactly what the situation is.
All right.
With regard to this.
Thanks very much. Let's go to Mike calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, from just a minute ago when you're talking about the carbon dioxide helping the plant life, I remember 5 or 6 years ago that argument started being presented, and I really liked it and used it. And then about a year or so later, they started coming up, the so-called environmentalists started coming up with a counter to that, saying that the increased foliage was causing global warming. Can you believe it? How far are they going to stretch? What do you think about that?
Well, it's silly.
So much of what's said is silly,
it's
Mike.
Silly.
But if you say it often enough and convincing enough, people will believe. Anything else you want to say?
Well, they were trying to make the point that the foliage was trapping heat in the Earth's surface.
See, there's no data. These people have a kind of advantage over ordinary people because they can make it up as they go along, and they don't require that they have any research data to support these things.
Yeah.
It's just a silly idea, but they throw this out, and unsuspecting people will accept it. I don't think this is backed by experiment. It's backed by rhetoric.
Yeah. One more question. Do you know what Solar Maximus is? I believe you were touching on possibly the same sort of thing earlier in the program. The Earth orbit being there being a 500-year cycle to an eccentricity in the Earth's orbit.
The people who study this subject most carefully conclude that the warming and cooling of the Earth is primarily a function of the sun's intensity, independent of these orbital variations.
Okay.
In other words, you do not see in the temperature fluctuations of the Earth this regular orbital phenomenon. I think that probably when they study it in a scholarly way, they put in a factor that accounts for that. But the conclusions of people who study the sun and sun-like stars are generally that the warming of the Earth is due to the intensity of the sun's radiation, independent of orbital mechanics.
Okay, yes. Thanks very much, Mike. You know, one of the things I've seen some of these textbooks that they have for our children, and they show New York City. Well, the only thing you would see in New York is just the top of the Empire State Building sticking out of the waves, and with the idea that, of course, with global warming, why we're going to get melting of the Arctic and Antarctic ice caps, and then, of course, we're going to have just flooding of all of our major cities that are adjacent to the ocean.
Well,
how would you counter that?
Well, yeah, and it's not just them. These people take over all kinds of publications. Scientific American used to be a fine magazine. It still has some nice articles. But when they wrote about global warming, the front cover showed that you were underwater. When you got to the table of contents, there were logos showing Florida underwater. It was just one giant propaganda piece. And, of course, attacked us for circulating the petition we did. You can be surprised. It's not just the New York Times. Scientific American is just as bad. These left-wing organizations have taken over a lot of important publications, and they use them as propaganda organs.
But the tragedy is they try to hide this under science, and really they're, it's like some of the things that are happening in medicine. I think increasingly people are beginning to realize they can't believe everything that the doctor tells them, because the doctor is being misinformed by other people who have a political agenda that are putting information out to the doctors. And the same thing is true with scientists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they're... The good scientists aren't involved in this. It's
mediocre
ones who are really unable to do good science, so they spend their time in political activities and try to become important in that way.
Well, but of course, isn't it a difficult situation when you're in the university level? And, you know, if you come out against, certainly something like global warming, you're going to have difficulty getting funding. And what about the scientists who work for government?
The academia... And the universities has become extremely left-wing. It's extremely socialist-oriented. Very little free enterprise or conservative ideas in the universities anymore. And as a result, it's quite a left-wing environment. And a professor who takes the other view is ridiculed, persecuted, and held back. Moreover, since World War II, a huge system of government funding of research has grown up. And this is a very harmful thing, in that the scientists depend on the good opinion of bureaucrats and committee members and others, and other scientists, to have their funding. So if they adopt unpopular ideas, then they won't have any research funding. So the research funding and the left-wing environment in the academic institutions keeps those scientists that would speak out on the other side quiet. They stay away from issues that are controversial because they are afraid.
And
not just on global warming, but on many other issues. They're just afraid to risk their laboratories, risk the jobs of their coworkers, and so on, by speaking the truth on subjects that affect politics and science. They just keep quiet.
But of course, here we're talking about an issue that could change the entire future of America, because if the Kyoto Protocol were to be signed and adhered to, of course, the primary thing would be America would have to cut back on its energy production, 30-40% or something. And really, of course, there's no way we could maintain an industrial society under those circumstances, is there?
Well, that's a nationwide effect over the long term, but if it's going to kill my research grant next year, or the scientist's research grant next year, he looks upon the matter and says, well, somebody else can take the risks. I better keep my head down and keep quiet. Our petition has quite a few famous scientists who signed it, but most of the famous ones are retired. Outstanding scientists are afraid to speak out on these issues, even the really good ones. They keep quiet, keep their heads down, and do their work in their specialties. And this is a problem. They're politically suppressed because their money comes from the government and because they live in a left-wing academic environment.
That is a tragic commentary on what's going on in America today. Do you have a parting thought? We've only got about 30 seconds before I have to let you go.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure to be on your show. And my parting comment is that people need to inform themselves. And don't forget what I said about trust and parrot. You go to our website, read the stuff yourself, and see what you think about the data. And do that for the other side, too, only you'll see they don't have any data, which will probably solve the issue for you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I want to tell you about some of the exciting new four-tape sets we've put together. One of them is called Vaccine A. It is the story of the Gulf War illness, and of course, there were three interviews with Gary Matsumoto, who wrote the book Vaccine A, and then 2 half-hour interviews where I actually talk. It's our Saturday program, and I point out really what is behind this. We have injured between 175, was the government, 175,000 veterans, which is what the government admits to, and about 300,000, 375,000, which Lorraine Murray, who used to work with, I believe at the Livermore Laboratory of Los Alamos, one of those. She's a scientist, and she has, of course, a great deal of information on the subject. I don't know where it is. I think it's probably certainly between a third and a quarter and a third, maybe as many as a half of the other veterans of the first Gulf War are ill today because of a wicked experiment that was done aimed at destroying the effectiveness of America's military. Now, we carry the book Vaccine A, we carry a four-tape set, and what I say sounds like, well, this could not be true. Our government would not do it. Well, the good people in our government wouldn't, but there really are evil people, and when you are part of the system, well, even as whether you're a scientist working with an academic atmosphere, you better keep your mouth shut. But, of course, Gary Matsumoto talked to doctors who admit that they gave this experimental vaccine. The studies that were even done by the FDA showing that there was an experimental vaccine that was used, and, of course, the studies done at Tulane, under tremendous pressure from the government to avoid getting the truth out. Vaccine A, the four-tape set, Vaccine A, the book, available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. The next time it could be your son or daughter. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when I want to mention we do carry a great deal of information on the environmental movement. We have a wonderful book by Holly Swanson. It's called Set Up and Sold Out. That's Set Up and Sold Out. We still have a few copies of Dixie Lee Ray's books, and Dixie Lee Ray was a governor of the state of Washington. She was a scientist. In fact, when I interviewed Dr. Edward Teller, he told me how flattered he was to be on my radio station. But, you know, following Dixie Lee Ray, who he thought was one of the great scientists of all time. Because, of course, she had really self-taught about nuclear physics, and she was able to pick up the nuances of this to the point where she could discuss this intelligently with him without any formal training, and he was so impressed by her. Well, we have her books, Trashing the Planet, and, of course, The other one is trashing the planet, and I've forgotten what the other one is. If you could just give us a call and ask for Dixie Lee Ray's books, why we do have a few copies of those. Then, of course, our sustainable development syllabus will take you into the background of certainly this whole movement, the Georgia Guidestones, the population control agenda, the agenda that came out of the Second Earth Summit, which is the basis of Agenda 21, and that's the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report, a 1,542-page book, and you can get it from a bookstore, or you can certainly read our summary of the Global Biodiversity Assessment, the Master Plan for the World. It contains the Earth Summit, pardon me, the Earth Charter, which is the Mein Kampf, the new Ten Commandments for the World, written by three people deeply involved with the occult, and one of them would be Marie Strong, one would be Stephen Rockefeller, the third would be Gorbachev. The three of them got together, the leader of the communist world, and he still is the leader of the communist world. Don't think for 1 minute he's not. So why is he working with a couple of multi-billionaires like Marie Strong and Stephen Rockefeller? Well, of course, Gorbachev, and they understand what you were never supposed to understand, is that the communist movement was financed from its very inception by people of great wealth. So you need to get the Sustainable Development Syllabus, you need to get the 4-tape set, and or the video on sustainable development, and it'll help you to put all of the facts together. The Sustainable Development Syllabus just has all sorts of documents in it, and when you, of course, go through this, going along with our video and our 4-tape set, you'll begin to see how this whole incredible scam fits together. It is an effort to destroy Western civilization, because behind all of this are dark spiritual forces. That's the Sustainable Development Syllabus, the Sustainable Development 4-tape set, the Sustainable Development video. So they're all available at Radio Liberty, and actually you get it at a special rate if you get several of them together, calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. You may very well want to go to Dr. Robinson's website. That's OISM, the Oregon Institute of Science and Medicine.org, www.osim. Get his material. Read it. Check out his scientific facts. I will tell you, I go to medical meetings, scientific meetings, where some of the outstanding scientists in the world attend, Nobel Prize winners, and they all pay homage to Dr. Arthur Robinson. What a privilege it was to have him as a guest here on Radio Liberty today. So if you'd like to get a copy, of course, today's tape, all of these things are available by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. You can go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Pull down our newsletters, especially my November newsletter, which tells how they're poisoning your children with fluoride. Because the fluoridated scam, the drinking water scam, is one of the greatest crimes of all time. And the American people have no idea what's going on. And, of course, if you'd like a free copy of the letter, remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.